Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm with Cotton Connect CEO Alison Ward, and we're at the Sustainable Apparel and Textiles Conference in Amsterdam. Welcome back to the podcast, Alison.
Yeah, thanks, Ian.
We were on a panel earlier on today talking about the challenges around building transparency and scaling from that in apparel supply chains. Could you set the scene a little around the evidence you've seen for building trust in supply chains and what for you in your work at Cotton Connect best practice looks like?
So we've heard this morning at the conference about increasing consumer demand. And actually, there's a recent Edelman survey that says 2/3 of consumers are choosing brands on sustainability issues. And then we know that investors find the ESG agenda very appealing and again are beginning to judge brands much more on their environmental and social impact. And I think if we're going to take action as brands and as actors in the supply chain, it is that traceability and transparency that's really going to allow us to have the information to have those supply chains that we would be proud of. So supply chains where we feel confident in buying clothes or maybe food or other consumer goods. So we probably shouldn't use transparency and traceability interchangeably. They are slightly different, but really that knowledge about what goes on beyond the garment or product you buy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess transparency is the first step to enable traceability and supply chains. All this morning's debate was around the issue of, came down to the kind of costs and where people are prepared to invest in supply chains, how much consumers are prepared to pay for resulting garments. What are you seeing from your work that gives you hope that we can change this sort of mindset around pushing prices ever further down?
It's sort of quite a common phrase now that where there's transparency, there becomes accountability. And I do see that as quite critical. And we've got 7 brands now where we've developed vertical supply chains for them. We know the supply chain from farmer to garment. So the brand can interact at different aspects of the supply chain. So we've had the chairman of a huge UK business come and meet a cotton farmer right at the beginning of part of their supply chain. And for me, it's hugely powerful for somebody at a board level to come and meet a female cotton farmer and understand how our programmes positively impact her life, but also how much more there is to do in that community as well. It does make these supply chains personal, and I think that we can really see quite a shift when business meets the suppliers. It really begins to shift that dynamic.
Yeah. We always talk about scale, don't we? About taking up a pilot project and building it. Seems to me there is no magic formula from going from very small to massively big. But your approach is different, isn't it? You've started small, but it's been a gradual process of building. And you've accepted that you're not going to be able to solve all problems for everybody. But do you see it as a sort of, you can slowly build things, they will get bigger. I mean, will they then develop their own momentum? And eventually that's how scale can be achieved?
Yes, absolutely. Again, it's a phrase I'm sure you've all heard before. So think big, start small and act now. And that's really been our mantra over the past 5 years at Cotton Connect, that we've had great ambitions, but we've then really looked at starting them on a small scale through a pilot or even with a brand that wants to pilot at a small level and then do it and then revise it. And if it doesn't work, then we ditch it. And if it works, we can do more of it. So that's really been our mantra. I believe we're getting to a stage now that we have success. We've shown this work. So we've got with Primark, there's 11.4 million pairs of pyjamas that are made with cotton traced from farmer to garment. We've done work with Kering through their Volcom brand. We've done work with Carrefour with their organic offer in store. So there is some really good examples now. And those brands can then go and talk to their supply chains and perhaps even talk to government or to other actors. So now we have a model that we believe can work. I think we can involve more people. We talk quite a lot about system change and shifts, but I think we're at that tipping point where we almost have the credibility to go and talk to people. Whereas before, I think it's quite hard to go and talk about an idea, isn't it? But now we've got some facts and figures.
Yeah,
and
sustainability has for so long traditionally, rightly or wrongly, sat within communications, but there is a big communications aspect to this. You have to tell stories to be able to engage people with the problems that are in supply chains in terms of developing properly sustainable supply chains. Is that something that you're seeing the businesses you work with at Cotton Connect, that the engagement level requires storytelling that's relevant for these different stakeholders?
Yes, absolutely. So I think it's always compelling when you're invited into a village to meet women and the men whose lives have been changed really through the education programmes, and then to see just with a little bit of knowledge, certainly one community, they had some more money, they've bought a tractor secondhand, they're building a toilet, and then have invested in a solar fence to keep out the wild animals that sort of trash their crops. So we really were just sort of the enabler for that, if you like, the little stepping stone that helped them. So it's incredible to see that. And I think it's really powerful when you take the rest of the supply chain into that conversation. Sure. On the other hand, we also went to a gin recently in India last year, and there were children in the gin. The gin's the second stage processing of cotton. Yep. I don't know why the children were there. They said that they had been delivering lunch, or they had just come up from the village on the cotton truck with their dad. I don't know, but there were definitely children hanging around that gin. So you see both sides and both stories, the positive, but then perhaps you can also see some things that need putting on as well.
And that's presumably the day when they knew you were coming.
Yeah, and interesting that we are quite trusted in the supply chain. I mean, my first time I went to Ghana for cocoa, I didn't see any children in the village because there was obviously a big discussion about child labour at that point. So that I didn't see any children in that village for the whole day I was there. So normally there's a sort of sanitisation that we get in terms of masks being worn in the gins or footwear or whatever. But yeah, this time there was definitely an issue that we saw.
Yeah, I mean, just one of the many issues around auditing and inspecting and everything else. Let's talk about cotton supply chains more generally. We've been talking about these issues for a while, but how are cotton supply chains changing? I mean, I know there's lots of different impacts across lots of different areas of the sustainability sector, but how are things improving? Let's take water, for example. How's cotton supply chain doing in tackling its water impacts at the moment?
I mean, certainly at a community level, in terms of how farmers are reducing water consumption, I think we've really seen some really good practice coming through. I mean, really now, and there's sort of environmental specialists looking at this, it's looking at watersheds and really how, what is government policy. So we see actually both in India and Pakistan, there's quite a lot of regulated pumping from the canals, that access to water is regulated. The cotton sector and the agricultural piece is only just one part of that broader landscape within water. So I think there's a need really for cross-sector, cross-government collaboration.
Yeah, certainly I feel that best practice is really developed around thinking about things more holistically. Yep. That doesn't necessarily mean it's all everywhere or at scale, but it feels there's a bit of a change that you have to think about everything in the round. Things like sustainable communities. If you get sustainable communities, then you're going to be able to deal with human rights issues and labour issues in a community. You can also deal with environmental impact. Is that where you see your work at Cotton Connect going next?
Yes, absolutely. So we started to look at thriving communities. Cotton farmers rotate their crop. There's also intercropping. So we do some work in soya. In India, there's a winter crop. So we've done some work educating farmers on how they would grow their winter wheat. So we've really been looking at various aspects of agriculture in the village. And then also, as farmers have more money, we've also brought in a farmer business school. So this is almost the financial step before you might get a micro loan or a micro business loan, that we help farmers sort of learn about profit and loss on the farm, how they're running a business, how they could think about how they're investing their money. And it's amazing to see actually the farmers sort of really taking this on board and really looking at the business skills they need now they've got some extra money to spend.
Sure. And again, that is then back to your earlier point. You start at that small level, and then the initiative and the benefits that these farmers can see, they talk to their friends about it, it can then expand and expand and expand. And as long as then the product is right and that the buyers of that product are getting what they want, this is the way perhaps that supply chains can innovate.
Absolutely. And I think for us, it's about finding partners that are prepared to look holistically. We can be very commodity based and commodity focused, whereas it's much broader than that. And I think we heard today there was a lot of discussion about textile factory element of the supply chain. And you can see that there's health and safety, clearly, but there's so much about the role of women, how they're paid, the interaction between the different hierarchies within the factory that are so important. So we really have to think more broadly. And I think that we each have an accountability to play in that, and how we can find sustainable solutions to some of those inherent problems.
Okay, well, Alison, it's always a pleasure to talk to you about
the
solutions approach. And thank you to you and your colleagues at Cotton Connect for supporting our work once again. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Great, lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.